This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back and looking. Pressure's coming. And he's sacked again by Tank Lawrence again. Wore out that right tackle, Ryan Schrader. And Lawrence has more than done his job in the first half.
That is the voice of America's team, Brad Sham, and he is joining us now on the BuyerSafety.com hotline as he had the call on the Fan of the second straight road victory for the Cowboys. They go into Philly, they win 27-20, and yesterday Atlanta 22-19. Brad joining us on the BuyerSafety.com hotline here on Sean and RJ. Tomorrow, Jerry Jones will be joining us at this time. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing great. I would like a participation trophy.
Yes, he heard it earlier. He heard it earlier.
Oh, yeah,
participation trophy.
I want a participation trophy.
Participation trophy.
Participation trophy.
Brad, are they playing much better here over the past few weeks, or are they getting fortunate with catching some teams at the right time? Are they playing that much better, do you think? They've elevated their own game?
Yes, they are catching some teams at the right time, but these are decent teams. Falcons, as you said earlier, Sean, when you were talking to Jason, they're averaging 30 points a game at home. The defense has been horrific because half of it's on injured reserve, but they're playing better. I think clearly the addition of Cooper has helped. I think that the change in the offensive line coaching, and I say this based on conversations with offensive linemen, I think it's made a big difference. And the defense, you know, the defense had a hiccup against Tennessee on third down.
Yes.
But the rest of it is, holy cow. I said on the pregame show yesterday, and never thinking it would happen, that if the Cowboys could somehow hold Atlanta to two touchdowns, I thought they would win the game. And never in a million years would have thought that they would have limited them to only one, and that, as you pointed out earlier, in the fourth quarter.
If I asked you to describe the style of play of the Cowboys defense, what would you say?
Relentless is the first thing that comes to mind. Really aggressive. The things that Chris Richard brought have to do with linebackers and safeties and corners being much more aggressive. Not that they were intentionally passive in the past, but from training camp, we all saw there was a kind of close proximity, in-your-face attitude. It permeated quickly, and they're all just playing really well at a high rate of intensity. And they're blitzing more. I mean, if you think about what they started the game yesterday with Malik Collins on one leg and Caron Reed as the defensive tackles. And there were a couple of times when they had Reed and Christian Ringo playing defensive tackle. And neither one of those guys could get picked out of a lineup.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They still were. I was just going to say that they were still able to get some pressure. Crawford doesn't get enough credit for what he does. And Gregory's really starting to come on now. And Lawrence has been, I think, really steady. I think Tank Lawrence has been consistent. He hadn't always gotten the sacks, but he's been disruptive, and he is never not outstanding in the run game.
And Rodney Harrison saying last night on NBC, their defense is good enough to go to the Super Bowl. Go ahead, RJ.
Yeah, and Rodney Harrison is not a guy who throws compliments at the Cowboys.
No,
unless it's Bill and Tom. He ain't complimenting anybody.
Right.
Pretty much the way it works. Bradley, you considering this is the scene of the demise last year, was this one of the biggest statement wins of Garrett's coaching career?
Yeah, I think it was, although as Babe pointed out, if there's a launching pad for if they have second half of the season success, the launching pad for it was the week before, mm-hmm. because they're about to die, and so now they come back and they win that game, and it's a division game. But to me, and I think to a few of the players, not all of them, not most of them, but to some, and to all of us outside the locker room, the significance of the fact that that's where the season died last year, and then they were able to come back and answer that, I think that was a... Now, of Garrett's career, I don't know, but of this year, absolutely.
What did you think of the game that Dak played?
Pretty good. If Cole Beasley had, it's interesting. I was thinking about the fact that it's 22-19. Would we have, pretend you don't know any more than you know, if I tell you it's 27-19, do you like that better?
27-19? Better?
Yeah, instead of 22-19. Does that just feel better?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so if Cole Beasley catches a ball and the extra point is made, it's 27-19.
Yes.
Now, that's presuming that everything else happens exactly the way it did, which wouldn't happen. So I think that the feel of the quarterback didn't generate enough offense because it was 22-19
right.
is somewhat misleading.
Yes.
I feel silly criticizing a guy who does something I could not do and never have even tried to do. But I think he holds the ball too long. I think the two sacks that he got yesterday were because of him holding on to the ball too long. You get an incompletion, throw it away. But other than that, I thought his decision-making was good. He didn't really have any big missteps. He's going to miss some throws. But I do think there are signs. If you look at his numbers, and I try not to measure this game totally by numbers, but if you look at his production, all of the statistics that we use to measure quarterbacks, and if you look at them over the last six games instead of the first 10, it's like two different guys. And I think that his arrow is pointed up, and that has been somewhat consistent over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Brad Sham, voice of the Cowboys, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Is Zeke different to you at all as a player, as a person, or this is just the great draft pick they were getting and who has really performed like this since he's come out of Ohio State? I just think sometimes he gets lost in the shuffle. I take him for granted. He carried the offense yesterday. Yep. Is anything different jumping out about Zeke or nothing at all?
No, yes. The answer is yes, and it's an excellent point, Sean, that we, in my opinion, one thing we do in sports, you know, if you think of who your great childhood athletic heroes were, and many of them you may not have seen play very much live, but you've seen all the highlights. Well, you didn't see the mistakes.
Right.
You saw the highlights. When we see a guy right in front of us, we see the good and the bad. I don't think there's any question but that he is more mature and serious-minded off the field. I don't mean he's a monk. I think that he's growing up. And then I think on the field, what we saw 2 years ago, we're seeing with a little dash of maturity. And so, yeah, I think he's absolutely better. And I would go so far as to say, in the first year, and now this is just me, I've not had this conversation with anybody over there. I think that you could have taken a poll in the first year and a half and said, up or down, will they want to sign him to a second contract? And I think if you took that same poll today, it would be mostly unanimous that they would want to. Now, that's, 3 years away, and a lot can happen, and who knows what the money is, but the point is the attitude, and I think he has generated that much positivity by the changes he's made.
Brad, how much concern is there for Brett Maher?
I'm not worried, really. I mean, there's not many. In fact, if you look at the league stats, and I started doing it a couple of years ago when Dan Bailey was like 10, 12 weeks, and he was perfect, and he was the last guy who was perfect, all his field goals, all his extra points. There might be two or three left. I'm not talking about late add-ons, guys who've kicked all year. He hit the extra point fat. He's got, I don't remember how many field goals he's missed, but, you know, he had one that hit the flag in the first game and one that hit the upright in Washington. And so that's hard to do. That's not shanking it. That's not, you know, missing the whole target. He's only done that once or twice. I like his demeanor. There have been some kickers through here who were just a little goofy, and he's not that. Those to me are the guys that you worry about, and he is really steady. I think he's very professional. I think he's mechanically good, and I trust him.
Did you or Babe have any issue with the end of the first half when they kind of just went in and let the clock run out versus the one timeout they had to use on their own 43?
Not an issue is too strong, but we both said, well, that's interesting. I thought maybe they'd be a little more aggressive. I thought maybe we would have been a little more aggressive. But I think that was – so I wouldn't call it an issue, but we did raise the question and would not have been upset if they had been more aggressive with it. I do think I know the head coach well enough to know his thinking, which is you might have seen that if they weren't getting the ball to start the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And there's no sense in giving away, making a mistake and giving away cheap points when you're going to have the ball to start the quarter coming out of the dressing room.
Voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham, with us every Monday on 105.3 The Fan. How much fun is it calling the rise of Leighton Vander Esch right now? I kind of compare it to Skin, where I'm like, dang it, you are on the roller coaster right now, going up with Luka, and you guys are getting it right now with Leighton.
And here's the best thing about it is he still, like when Jason said to you, you know, you don't see the things that he isn't doing and it's not all perfect. And if he's healthy, Sean Lee's still their best linebacker because of what's in his head when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't take a thing away from Vander Esch. The point I'm trying to make is that it's an incredible amount of fun, and he still is figuring out what he's doing. When he gets, he'll be half again as good next year.
What do you do when Sean comes back healthy with him?
I believe that Sean told me something the other day. I'm gonna out him on this. Statistically, immeasurable. So you know they have these GPS systems that they have on the sideline now, and they measure medically and statistically in-game physical performance, not how many yards or that kind of thing, but they
speed.
Yes. So you remember the play in Washington when he ran down Alex Smith?
Yes.
The GPS on him then clocked faster than he's ever been in his career.
Wow.
And so because of that, and because of what's in between his ears, I'm going to find a way. I don't think there's the necessity, and especially if they're going to be able to play more than 16 games, to have Vander Esch and Jalen Smith playing every single snap. The only one Leighton missed, I think, yesterday was when he got the wind knocked out of him. He and Jalen played every snap the week before. And if you've got a linebacker of the quality of Lee who is going to bring the knowledge and communication skills that he has, and you can rotate the three of them, because Vander Esch plays both positions, and not have any one of the three have to play every snap, I don't have a big problem with that in the short term. I don't know if that's what you want to do long term. And obviously, right now, nobody wants to see 55 not on the field. And if I can add a guy of Lee's caliber and he's healthy and have in combination two of the three on the field all the time and keep them fresh going down the stretch, I'm not opposed to that.
Are the Cowboys your favorites today in the NFC East?
Should they win the East? No, well, I won't say should.
Oh, now you know how I feel about should, RJ. But the Eagles are the defending world champions, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah, but their quarterback just had an awful game. I mean,
Yeah.
Awful.
Well, quarterbacks have awful games. You know, Odell
not this
Beckham,
one.
Odell Beckham said the Giants were going to win their last eight games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I certainly understand why it makes sense, say, that Dallas is the favorite to win the East. And I also, while I understand why that makes sense, I know this division. I mean, what if the Giants are suddenly playing better? And I don't think the Eagles are going to play that badly again. And they got issues. Now, they've got no cornerbacks left. And listen, Washington, Houston's really on a roll. They're good. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, after Alex Smith went out, that's when they came back and made a push yesterday.
Yes.
And so
you've seen Colt McCoy. You've seen Colt McCoy against the Cowboys before?
Seen it. Seen the movie. read the book. And so I don't think that's going to be an easy game on Thursday. And there it will be hard. You made a great point earlier when you were talking about the running game the last couple of weeks. And the things that they've been able to do against Philadelphia and Atlanta might be a little harder to do against Washington because of their front. That's a really sticky front.
Yeah.
And those tackles are phenomenal. So that's not going to be an easy and by the way, while we are all now, everybody in Cowboy Nation is now counting the win and putting them in first place, it's Washington that's in first place.
Yeah.
And so they're going to bow up. There's plenty of good reason to say that Dallas makes a lot of sense going down the stretch to be the favorite. And one of the biggest ones is the fact that over the last six games, the quarterback's performance is significantly different. But none of those other teams is dead yet.
Participation trophy.
I want a participation trophy.
Participation trophy.
This was great, Brad. Thanks for changing for Garrett. We appreciate it, and we'll hear you in a few days.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving, Dan.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Brother.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.